has touched you, not if, as God has touched you. I'd appreciate if you would let us know what God has done for you, how he's healed your body, whether you're online or here in the sanctuary. Just either send an email, a phone call, something to let us know what God has done so we can rejoice together. Amen? Hallelujah. Glorious God. You know, when I was growing up, my parents had routines and certain activities. How many of you have, maybe you're that parent now that has certain routines and activities. You know, for instance, 11 a.m. was coffee time. Everything in the house stopped. And you poured a cup of coffee. And, you know, the, one of those dainty little cups. I never understood that. You want a coffee, get a mug. You know, but 11 o'clock was coffee time, and you had this dainty little cup, and you would sit and have a cup of coffee and chat, and then go off and do whatever you were doing. Then at 3 o'clock, it was tea time. And you would, same routine, stop, you'd have a little Sinterklaas cookie and a spot of tea, and then you'd go on and do your routine again. Then, at 7 p.m., it was coffee time again. And they served the coffee, and it was very specific. They served the coffee with a little bit of sugar, and then they used carnation milk as a whitener. How many have ever... okay. But the other thing my parents would do is they make sure I attended Sunday school classes. And around this time of year, I remember the lessons would turn to Christmas to begin to prepare us and help us understand what the real meaning of Christmas was. And I remember the teacher, as she taught us about Christmas, and she really wanted us to know and make sure we understood the real meaning of Christmas. And so she asked, how many of you, and she used this great big word, this theological word. He says, how many of you, and I think we were eight years old at the time, and so how many of you understand what the incarnation is? And she received blank stares from everyone but me. I knew what the incarnation was. So I put up my hand, and she goes, yes, Ralph. And I proudly answered the incarnation. I learned this from my parents. The incarnation is when you put milk in the coffee, because my parents always said, get the coffee and don't forget to put in the carnation milk. Incarnation. No, Ralph, that's not what incarnation means. Incarnation is actually a theological term used to describe the wonder and the stunning mystery of what happened at Christmas. The Word became flesh. And that's my title for this morning's talk. The Word became flesh. So let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your grace towards us. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're here with us. And we pray that you'll continue to speak to us this morning, that you would teach us and give us fresh revelation this morning as to the wonder of the reality of when the Word became flesh. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. So once again, we're going to look at John chapter 1, and I'm going to read verses 1 to 18 again. And there we read, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. And that light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to the world, to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and through the world was made through him. The world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cried out, "This is the one I spoke about when I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.' Out of his fullness we have all received grace in place of grace already given, for the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known." So last week, we did a reference check on Jesus. We discovered that through the eyewitness of the Apostle John, that Jesus is eternal, that he is God. Jesus is the second person of the Trinity, God the Son. Jesus is the Word. And God has spoken to us and revealed himself to us in the person of Jesus Christ. And, you know, if God has spoken to us through Jesus, we had better listen and respond. Jesus is the author of life. In him is life, and that light, life was the life, and that life was the light of all mankind. So in a world lost in darkness, reeling under the effects of sin, in a world where we don't know who we can trust anymore, John has shown us that we can trust Jesus Christ. Amen? He is who the prophets said he is. He is the true light that shines in the darkness, and he will save us from our sins. And then John continues in verse 14, and he says, "The Word," and that's the Word who was in the beginning with God, the Word who was God, the Word who created everything that has come into being. John says, that Word, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Think about that for a minute. The Word, the creator of everything, became flesh and dwelt among us. You know, in one short, and I call it shattering, mind-blowing expression, John unveils the great truth that's at the heart of Christianity, that the Word, Jesus Christ, became flesh. Now, when John pens the Word became flesh, he wasn't trying to paint this really pretty picture. Rather, if you study, the Word is it's raw, it's startling, it's graphic, it's like, what? The Word became flesh and it became blood. It's a kind of a startling expression, because Jesus didn't come just looking like a human. He became human with flesh and blood. Now, if you really stop to think, the creator of all things, he created us, he created humanity, became like what he created. It's stunning. It's absolutely stunning. And John wants to, the way he phrases it is, he wants it to impact this. It's a raw, jarring statement. Jesus didn't come just looking human. He became human with flesh and blood. He became one of us, and the Word became flesh. And John wants us to know that Jesus took upon himself our full human nature, except without sin. That John makes that truth very clear too. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 5, he writes, "You know that he appeared in order to take away sins, in that in him there is no sin. But John wants us to know that he took on our full human nature. From the miraculous moment when Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit in the womb of the Virgin Mary, he will never cease to be fully human. He will never cease. We need to understand there's so much confusion around this, but when he was conceived by the Holy Spirit through the Virgin Mary, Jesus Christ will never cease to be fully human. But there's a however, and this is a big however. When John wrote the Word became flesh, he did not mean that Jesus stopped being what he was before. Jesus did not lay aside his deity. He did not cease to be God. And this is really important too. Although he became fully human, he did not cease to be God. But as one theologian put it, he added complete humanity to his eternal deity. That's an awesome statement. He added complete humanity to his eternal deity. And so he is forever both God and man. And if that messes up your head, it's okay. It just shows you God's a whole lot bigger than we are. You know, there is some teachings out there that when Jesus came, he no longer came as God. He was just human. That's not true. And then he ceased human after he ascended to the heaven. That's not true either. From the moment he was conceived by the Holy Spirit through the Virgin Mary, he will never cease to be fully human. But at the same time, he is still fully God. He is both God and man in one person. You know, I've read theologian after theologian. How many love reading books on theology and commentaries? If you got time off, that's what you do. You sit by the fireplace and you get a commentary and you start reading it, right? Well, yeah. You should be excited about that. But I can decide, I've read theologian after theologian after theologian as they try to explain and grasp the wonder of this truth. And if they have trouble grasping it, it's no wonder we can struggle with it. But yet, it's a reality. It's a truth. But let me sum up what they say in this paragraph. As I looked at a bunch of theories, I took what they said and kind of compiled into one paragraph. And this is what I come up with. And I'm using their language. So it is by far the most amazing miracle of the entire Bible. It is by far the most amazing miracle of the entire Bible. They go on to say, more amazing than the resurrection. And even more amazing than the creation of the universe. Words fall short in describing the fact that the infinite, omnipotent, eternal Son of God took on flesh, joining himself to a human nature, forever becoming fully human, yet fully God. That's like, wow. And then as the Apostle John or Paul wrote to the Philippians, he writes, Jesus, who being in nature God, he is God and he will never stop being God. He is man and he will never stop being human. Jesus, fully God with the divine nature, yet fully human with a human nature. And Paul opens, this is stunning, and Paul opens that truth even just a little bit farther because, you know, I said he came just like us. And I wonder if he did come just like us. Because listen to what Paul says. He's, not only did he come take on human nature, but Paul, he says, Jesus, who being in the very nature God, took on himself not just a human nature, but the nature of a servant. In order to serve me. Think about that for a minute. Let that truth sink into you. He didn't just come as a human being. He came as the most, in the most lowest station. He came with the nature. He came as a servant to serve you and to serve me. Think the creator of the universe humbled himself and came to serve the very creation he created. That's wow. No wonder John says, out of his fullness, we have all received grace and truth. So John continues, and the Word became flesh, and he writes, and made his dwelling among us. And this is amazing, and there's a couple of thoughts being expressed here. And the first thought is, the word translated dwelling means to pitch a tent. That's what it means. It means that the idea is to pitch a tent. And the idea John wants to convey here is that Jesus didn't come in a magnificent palace in keeping with his majesty and deity, with a great wall around the palace, keeping everyone out, keeping everybody in a distance, and maybe opening it to a few elites, maybe the prime minister and the queen or something like that. I don't know. But he didn't come like that. He didn't come in some great palace and in splendor with a wall kind of keeping everybody at a distance. Rather, the word translated made his dwelling with us as he came and he pitched a tent. And he pitched his tent right with us, right in our backyard. Right in our backyard. In other words, when he came and he lived life with us. God Almighty, omnipotent, came and he lived life with us and shared fully in what it means to live a human life. Amen? Jesus Christ, he humbled or emptied himself in that he gave up, or rather set aside. That's a better way of saying it. He set aside the use and the display of his glory and power and everything that encompasses his majesty, the magnificent brilliance of his glory and splendor and grandeur. And you kind of see that truth revealed in the prayer Jesus prayed in chapter 17, where Jesus prayed, Father. And I love this. He says, I want everyone that you have given me to be with me. That's just powerful. That's another message, and I'm going to try not to preach it right now. But I want everyone that you have given me to be with me wherever I am. And then he says, then they will see the glory that I had, that you had given me. The original glory that he had, because you loved me before the world was created. He didn't come. He didn't come and live out of his splendor and grandeur. He didn't come and live out of a place of power and position. He came in stunning simplicity and humility, simply to serve, to live life with us, with the goal to show us what the Father is like. As he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He came and lived in stunning simplicity and humility to serve us, to show us what the Father was really like, full of grace and truth. Came to live with us to show us the way back to the Father and to show us what's available in the kingdom of God. Life, abundant, eternal life through faith in Jesus Christ. He came to us so that we could ultimately be with him. He who was rich beyond measure became poor for our sakes, so that out of his poverty, we might become rich. know what? He understands everything you and I face because he faced it all himself. Not only does he understand, you know what? He knows the way through because he's been there. And by his example, he shows us the way and he helps us through. Because there's nothing, no temptation that has overcome you that he doesn't show a way through. You know why? You know why he can show the way through? Because he's been tempted in every which way like we've been tempted, yet was without sin. He knows the way through, and he came to show us the way through. And by following his example, we can make it just like we can make it through. Amen? He understands your challenges and your pain and your sorrow and your joy and your excitement. He understands all of your stuff. And the writer of Hebrews said it like this: therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast and firm to the confession we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with us in our weaknesses. But we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Amen? And he'll show us through. The first thought John is conveying when he writes, the word became flesh, in the part, and made his dwelling among us. Number one, he fully shared in what it means to live a human life. He came to live with us. Which brings me to the second thought. The phrase "made his dwelling" also carries the meaning to tabernacle. And this is really interesting. I looked at this for a while. It's really interesting. It's the same word, it's the same word used of the tabernacle in the Old Testament, where God dwelt with his people in the wilderness. And John, I think John wants us to make some connections. Just as the tabernacle was the place where God dwelt with his people, so Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. Just as the tabernacle was at the center of Israel's camp, so Jesus Christ is to be the center of the church and the center of our lives. Just as sacrifices for sin were continually offered at the tabernacle, so Jesus, the perfect man, the spotless Lamb of God, is our complete and final sacrifice, and through him we have access to God. Amen? He is our complete sacrifice. No other sacrifice needs to be made. He didn't come with a hidden agenda to overthrow Rome. He became flesh. He became human to be the perfect sacrifice, to give his life, to pay for the penalty of sin, my sin, your sin, and set us free from the tyranny of sin. Just as sin entered the world through one man, Adam, and death through sin. And in this way, death came to all people because all sinned. The gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflows to many. Life for all people. He became sin who knew no sin, so that in him we could become the righteousness of God in Christ. He became obedient to death, even death on the cross, and became a curse for us so that we could be redeemed from the curse of the law of sin and death. He is the perfect sacrifice without spot or blemish. He is the perfect high priest, the one and only mediator between God and man, the man, Jesus Christ. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Wow. He is Emmanuel, God with us. His name is Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. He is Jesus Christ, full of grace and truth. Amen. So this Christmas, COVID and everything, this Christmas we don't say, look what the world has come to. We say, look what has come into the world. Amen. Look what has come into the world. Amen. Look what has come into the world. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. His name is Jesus Christ. God is not a distant God waiting for you to trip up. God, Almighty God, Jesus Christ, omnipotent God, creator of all things, humbled himself, became like us, lived with us, so that we could be restored to the Father, to be forever with him again. Amen. What a God. What a Savior. It's not look what the world has come to, but look what has come into the world. Amen. And to all who received him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Father, we thank you. We thank you this morning for Jesus Christ. You loved us so much that you sent your only begotten Son, the Word, Jesus Christ, to become flesh. And Jesus, we thank you that you came. Almighty, omnipotent God, you came and you became flesh and blood. You took our humanity on yourself to live with us, to be with us, to show the way, and to pay for our sin. Jesus, words fail. Words fail. There's only one thing we can adequately do, is to fall on our knees and say, Jesus, I need you to be my Lord and Savior. I love you. Jesus, we just honor and adore you today, and we thank you. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Amen. God is so good. Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and give you peace. And if you've been listening and you haven't given your life to Jesus Christ, you can do that simply by right where you are saying, Lord Jesus, I believe who you are, and I believe you came and did this for me. I want the life that you have for me. I want the salvation that you came to give me. I want to be with you forever. Be my Lord and be my Savior. God bless. Have a great rest of the day. You are dismissed.